On the tee, Jack Nicklaus.
This is the minute that millions around the world have waited for.
We will allow you to enjoy all of this. They are dancing in the pubs of Dublin. Harrington with an ace.
And we have a shining star at sunset. Rory continues his run to greatness.
The return to glory.
Now, guys, welcome back to another episode of the Bogeyman Golf Podcast. As you know, Michael and I have been working on this winter program with Moss Landman in Capital Performance to talk us through the nuts and bolts of it, and basically just to scold us about how unathletic and inefficient we are at our golf swings and just general movements. We've actually got Moss on the podcast now to really put out in black and white what a desperate shape we're in. Moss, how are you?
You're being very harsh on yourself, on yourselves there, Johnny. You were speaking for the two of you as well.
But, yeah.
Good to be back, Johnny. It's been a while, and looking forward to having a nice chat now. So, thanks for having me on.
So, how many golfers? The idea for this basically came about because we were looking at getting fitter, stronger, hitting the golf ball further, and we felt that just even given the time of year it was winter. Golf courses even this week are all shut because of the weather, so it's a good chance for us to kind of put in a bit of gym work, get better, get stronger, and just get generally healthier. How many people do you get coming to you, or would you get many throughout the winter? We're looking to build a program.
Yeah, quite a lot, and like, look, fitness in general is getting more popular. We know obviously from the research the importance and the value of resistance training in our lives. So look, you've got young guys that are really keen on their golf, that want to hit the ball further because that's the way it's trending. Let's say in college golf in America. So teenagers that might have their sights set on college in America, or even just, you know, like high level golf here, that's what they want. And then, you know, you've got, like, say we're in our 30s, lads like us that are maybe just starting to get a little bit stiff, haven't trained properly in a couple of years, want to get back into it, and would still see themselves as people that should be kind of fit and athletic. And then you've got like older guys now that are, you know, guys that are maybe, and obviously females too, that are retired or close to retirement, and they're thinking about playing more golf, and they're suffering with aches and pains. And again, like, As they get older, I've got guys in their 60s and 70s coming to me now, and you know, one thing certainly that they lose their power first, and then kind of their strength after that, and they're trying to hang on to what they have and maybe try and improve it if they can. So you've got all sorts of people coming in for winter stuff. It's a great time to do it because obviously in the summer you're playing your competitive golf for the most part. Our Ireland's weather, you know, and particularly for people that are members of Parkland courses, that, like, I'm hearing that a lot of Parkland courses have been shut a lot recently. So it's a great time to get into the gym, and look, the January rush comes in and people are deciding that they're going to do a little bit more. So yeah, loads of people, all different ages, slightly different goals, but you know, different ways to achieve those goals.
So you're saying, like, men and women are hitting the panic button when a 9-iron isn't going as far as it used to, and they're going, oh no, the distance is going.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole aim was to retire and play lots of golf, and now all of a sudden my 8-iron isn't going the distance I needed to.
Yeah, yeah. The 8-iron's going 70 yards, so the game gets a bit tough then. A little bit like that, but it's to be fair, I think the reality is that we're all trying to make the game a little bit easier for ourselves and feel a bit better from a health and fitness point of view. So
so although this is obviously, or what we're doing is very golf specific and golf focused, can you give a bit of background as to your experience, your background? You also come from more of a Gaelic football background, but you're an elite golfer in your own right. Can you just talk through your credentials and just kind of humble brag here for a few minutes?
Yeah, there's not much to say really, to be honest, but I'll give you the background story. So obviously a physio by degree initially, starting out I was really into sport, and I got injured a lot myself, which is actually what introduced me to the game. So I was suffering a lot with muscle tissue injuries as a teenager, and I was kind of getting a little bit sick of that, and that was keeping me out of sport. So I took up golf late compared to most people. I was about or maybe late 14 into when I was 15, and then properly 15, 16, then got playing a bit more. Wasn't getting injured playing golf, so kept at it. I was originally hurling and football that I would have played Gaelic football. So that's how I got into golf. And then I suppose like anyone that gets into the game, I got hooked pretty quickly. And yeah, between the jigs and the reels, I still had a kind of a graph for GAA. So after I finished college, I was lucky enough to end up working with the Dublin senior hurling team, and I worked with them for the guts of a decade really. And in the background, because of my interest in golf, I was doing a little bit more in that space. And I suppose the modern day physio is often, the strength and conditioning is tied into the physio side of things. It's quite common now that a physio would also be kind of a strength and conditioning coach, maybe for want of a better way to put it, but that's the combo is kind of popular now. So I was doing my physio with the Dubs, and I was doing the strength and conditioning in the golf space, and kind of general physio led training has become quite popular too, because a lot of people are obviously suffering with injuries and are unsure if they should be doing certain things in the gym and yada yada yada. So yeah, that was I was lucky enough through it's funny how it happens, but through GAA context to get into Royal Dublin. A lot of really good golfers there. You know, I was lucky enough to become friendly with them. That's definitely helped my golf no end. Lots of international players, and some professional players as well. So I initially started doing a bit of work with them in the gym. Niall Kearney would have started coming in to me kind of first of all, and that was going well. So he was recommending me to other people, and then I suppose just the little bit of word of mouth stuff goes on. And yeah, it's been lovely for me to be able to work in the strength and conditioning space in the golf, and alongside that, the physio space in the GAA world. And that's been it's been a real privilege for me, a great learning ground for sure, and a real privilege, because I suppose to be involved in two things that you love so much is great in terms of your job, you know, and your income. So that's kind of how that all started. And look now I'm working with some great players in relation to the golf, and I have my own clinic now in Fairview, and I'm a year there now, and it's going really well. And somewhere along the line there as well, a very good friend of mine, Donald Fox, who's a fantastic physio. He has a practice in Temple Oak, also a strength conditioning coach. He kind of got me in touch and working with a great strength conditioning coach in America, a guy called Vern Gambetta. Vern's in his 70s now, but he would have been, I suppose, one of the dons of S&C, you know, across the world really, and particularly in the States. And I've been lucky enough to work with him and also with Donny, and we've traveled over to America to see Vern and learn from him. And he's got some really really cool ideas on athletic development, and it's been great to take that stuff back to the golf world and that type of thing. So yeah, I hope that kind of summarizes it somewhat, but yeah
no, I was telling a few people working with Moss, and I was like, they were like, oh yeah, first thing out of the mouth was, he's a very good golfer. That was the first thing they were like, you know, just all aside that, I think he's got this, yeah, they're like, you know, he's big into his golf, like he's very good. And I was like, oh great, someone else who's better than me.
I wouldn't, geez, I don't know about that. I trust me, it's certainly not talent that gets me anywhere. I have to work really hard to just keep afloat in Royal Dublin anyway, and there's still plenty of shite days. So anyway, it's getting there. Definitely getting there. Doing a good bit of work. You know, on getting better. I'm lucky enough to have a simulator in the clinic, which does really help my own golf selfishly. But but thanks. That's nice to hear. But not quite true, I'd say.
So we got in touch with you about doing this collaboration, about doing this 8-week initially program. You had us in for an assessment. You took a quick look at us. Do you want to start with myself and then we'll talk about Mick? Or how do you want to talk through what you do with each of us? Because you spent the goods of an hour and a half with each of us. You really looked at every aspect of our strength, fitness, mobility, and just general athleticism. So you're the expert here. We'll follow your lead.
Yeah, sure. We'll start with you, Johnny. I think really it just obviously just the way it panned out, but it was a really nice. Both of you are coming from very different training backgrounds, and that was cool, because it gave us an opportunity to show, I suppose, what we would program based on your individual needs and obviously the assessment process. And Yeah, I mean, do you want me to talk about kind of a little bit of detail about what we found for each of you? Is that kind of.
Yeah, I guess because we're both fairly re like we would reflect a lot of our listeners, and we'd be like, we're not the most athletic people in the world, we're not the least athletic, so people might relate to what we have. If someone has a gammy hip, they might go, okay, what Johnny's doing is sounds pretty good for me.
Yeah, cool. So like I suppose for you, Johnny, first of all, and again, part of this comes with the physio background as well. So the as part of the assessment, when a golfer comes in, we obviously talk about obviously goals and what the individual is trying to achieve in the game and from a physical point of view. It's really important to talk about an injury history, like a particularly like obviously less so like any of the kind of the teenagers and 20 somethings that are coming into me rarely have kind of any issues injury wise, but pretty much as soon as you're hitting late 20s, 30s, there's always something. So obviously you guys have the hockey background, which obviously really helps in relation to your golf athleticism, good rotational power or whatever. But
We're all hands. We're all
you know,
hands.
you're really putting yourselves down here, but there was a lot of good stuff in your assessments. But so we that like the conversation piece initially is important. So for you, Johnny, obviously we knew with the shoulder issues, so obviously let's say two kind of hockey injuries as such, that potentially would have caused you a little bit of grief and still can be quite sore. So using a so sorry, another part of the assessment is using tools to measure and to kind of ascertain exactly what's going on, as opposed to kind of maybe guessing traditionally. Not that we'd be guessing, but traditionally you would just use kind of feel to kind of get a gauge on the strength of something. And yeah, it's interesting since I've started to use devices such as the valve dynamometer and the output device, output sports device, which is basically a device that you attach to your foot or your hand, and it gives us or a bar, and it tells you how fast that limb is moving, or how fast the bar is moving, or how high you're jumping or whatever. And it's given us that immediate feedback numerically. So it's very exact, which is important because I found that things that I would have assumed before I realized I was probably wrong, when you see the numbers in front of you. So human error definitely comes into play. So we set out to first of all identify what you wanted to get physically from this process. We'll talk about that in a second, and then obviously we went to assess and to see, like we looked at the shoulders with the valve dynamometer, which gives us a numerical value of the strength of the shoulder joints. See, was there kind of compared to norms, maybe deficits there, or one side compared to the other? If there's one side that's stronger than the other, that can be problematic from a pain perspective and stuff like that. So that kind of thing. So look, like most golfers, Johnny, back to what your goals were, like if you want to touch on this, you can, but obviously you wanted to get a little bit stronger. That was one of your main things, which is important. We'll talk about that in a minute. And you wanted to obviously increase your power and your swing speed, and let's be honest, pretty much every golfer coming through the door is saying that. And you said, look, maybe a touch of getting on top of the shoulders would help too, and that would be good. So like do you want to touch on that? Is there anything that you kind of felt coming in?
Yeah, I mean, so I guess the real impetus for me personally on this was I played a little bit of a money match over the winter with a couple of PGA professionals, and I wouldn't be the shortest out of my group of friends. I'd hit a golf ball pretty well off the tee, I would like to say, but I was just the brunt of this litter repeatedly. Every single hole, I was like 10, 15 yards, and I know that these guys, as much as they're bigger hitters than I am, are not the biggest of hitters, even amongst their contemporaries. And so I was like, I need to be hitting off far further. If I want to, I'm currently a 6, a 5.9 handicap. If I want to get anywhere close to scratch, I know I got to be hitting the golf ball a lot further, a lot more consistently as well, but a lot further. On top of that, then there's a general strength, fitness, and I'm sure like everyone that comes into you, they all want to lose a lot of weight.
So that's kind of where you are at, and like obviously we're looking after the physical side of that, and the physical side is important because if you I wrote an article a couple of years ago that I called the distance diamond, and there's four, and you'll have seen this in other words elsewhere at times, I'm sure, but there's four components to distance. Obviously the physical is the bit that I'm going to look after. Technical obviously is another. So having a better golf swing, a more efficient golf swing, will help you you know, increase your speed. Obviously, the equipment that you use, you know, it's really important to spin the ball the right amount to launch it at the right angle, and you can really maximize or optimize your numbers with TrackMan or GC Quad now, to help you, you know, get the most out of what you have. And then the fourth piece is actually working on speed itself. And we spoke about that, like any gym program that you get from me or any other practitioner, like, if you want to hit the ball further, you got to work. It's like in other sports, it's funny, like we're always a little bit late with golf and from a training perspective as well. Obviously, Tiger kind of changed it, but now it's like just the done thing that everyone's in the gym flat out and getting stronger and faster. And we can see that in the numbers now in relation to how far people are hitting the ball. But like you really do need to, like with running, for example, if you want to get faster, you got to sprint. Like, so it's in golf, it's no different. If you want to hit the ball further, you got to practice hitting the ball hard, trying to get your swing speed up. And we're lucky now to have devices like the speed sticks, or there's rip stick, there's the stack, and really any of them work, you know, it's just about complementing your physical work with that. So that's kind of your distance diamond. So obviously, I was saying to you that, you know, you mentioned that you're working on a couple of things in your swing. So we're aware of that. You know, we spoke about the speed training. That's fine. You guys, I think, are lucky enough to have a partnership with Callaway. Isn't that right? So you're well looked after on that front. And then the physical aspect then is like, what can we improve based on your assessment?
So what did you see then from myself? So from the assessments, what were the areas of strength and areas of weakness that I guess people might relate to, and if they're to get there, so we can chat through the programs. We'll put the programs that you gave us out on socials and stuff if people want to try and keep track and do them themselves. What did you see, I guess, with myself specifically?
Yeah, so basically with you, Johnny, again, as I said, both of you were quite different, which was interesting. Like you had to be, your training background was probably a little bit more prominent than Mick. So like you had done a little bit more, you've had programs before, it's been a work in progress for you for a while. So you mentioned that stiffness was an issue that you had. And to be fair to you, you've actually done a lot of great work on that. So when we looked at how mobile your hips were and how mobile your spine was, it was quite good. So that would be like your low hanging fruit. Check the mobility first. And mobility is the foundation for appropriate movement or efficient movement. So if you're really stiff, it's going to be hard to move well. You had that covered pretty much. So in your program, I haven't given you a whole lot of mobility work to do. I've given you some general stretching as part of your own, which is fine. You were doing some stuff already. I would encourage you to keep doing that. The one area where you were tight was your lats. So that was one thing that we wanted to maybe target. You know, often golfers will come in and you'll see like quite large deficits in their spine in terms of rotation, or their hips in terms of rotation. And for you, your overhead mobility was a little bit off. And I know that you've got that issue with a lot of bend in your left arm and the backswing, and you're trying to get more width, but maybe shorten the swing. And so that was the first thing, if you like. We had a look at your shoulders then based on the two previous injuries you've had there. And although they were similar, the overall strength output from them was probably a little bit down from where we like them. And that kind of matched up with your strength testing then. So with you, Johnny, because you had and we'll talk about this with Mick, obviously Mick is going to do more of this stuff at home because of life situation. That's the way it is. Everyone has different options in relation to getting their stuff done. So you're kind of familiar with going to the gym. You go to the gym regularly. So we did some one rep max testing with you, Johnny, then. So after we looked at your range of motion, your movement capacity, which is all pretty good outside of a bit of tightness in your lats. And just for anyone that's wondering, the lats are tight. It just means that you're going to find it hard to get width in your backswing. You'll find that then. And a lot of people, particularly as we get older, would struggle with that. So rotation is one thing, but then width is another as well. So you kind of want to combine both. So your issue wasn't that you couldn't rotate. You were able to rotate, but you struggle with the arm position, shortened, if you like. So that was the first thing. We did our strength testing. I have to say, Johnny, I was quite impressed with your strength. You know, I think you hit some really good numbers. I think we got up to, like, did we get 110, 115 on your squat? like 150 on the deadlift. And look, the reality is, and then we did a kind of a 1 RM test on dumbbell bench, because when you're training on your own, using dumbbells for the bench is just a little bit handier because you can just drop them, particularly if you're working it to near failure. So the heaviest dumbbells I had in the clinic, have in the clinic, are 30 kgs, and you just about got your rep out at two with 230. So really good. Like, that's a really good baseline of strength. And the thing about it is your max strength, that's the foundation for power or speed strength, if you like. This speed strength essentially is power. So it's the foundation of your body having, so being able to increase the rate of force development in a given move. Now, it's not to say, like, for example, if you have a really strong guy, or they might be able to lift, like, maybe they're deadlifting 250 kg, and obviously they have a lot of strength. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be able to really move quickly or athletically or powerfully, and particularly if they don't work on power itself. So although strength is the foundation for that, I hope I'm making sense here, it's also important to work on the power side of things as well, which is, power is essentially moving heavy things fast. And then obviously as we work up the spectrum to a golf club, that's a light object, but we want to be able to move that fast too. So it's kind of a pathway to that point, if you like, starting with strength.
So what you're saying is you people could be strong without being like explosive, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, exactly. And like, let's say, think of your traditional prop in rugby that might be an absolute horse in the gym. Now, you don't see it these days because they're all so well trained that a lot of these guys that are like 130 kg are running like nearly 10 meters a second in GPS, which is like insane. And it's not, that wouldn't have happened in the past. They would have been heavy and slow. But now they're strong. Like, if you, and another example is they're also mobile. I don't know if you've ever seen Keane Healy warm up on the side of a rugby field, but like, he is so mobile for such a big guy, and obviously incredibly powerful, and maybe him maybe not so much quick on the feet, but certainly other guys in his, he's getting older now, in fairness, so the other guys in his position are quite athletic as well. So yeah, strength is the foundation to generate the power, but you got to work on the power and the speed to make the most of the strength that you have. But the stronger you are, typically the more power you will be able to generate. So anyway, sorry, that was rambling on there. But for you, good strength. So one of your goals was to increase the strength that you have, and there's no harm in that. I mean, look, it's the winter, and there's kind of, there's typical values that you might chase in relation to your lifting. So like, a deadlifting twice your body weight, squatting maybe 1.5 times your body weight, and benching your body weight would all be good markers of like, really, really good strength. So I think you are just slightly off those. So we're pushing maybe to get to them. And I'm not going to say that that's an absolute necessity, but it was certainly one of your goals in terms of getting stronger. And I think that's the block that we're on at the moment. It's a strength focus. And then, once we get this kind of 8 week block done, and you're tracking your numbers and improving, and whether that's weekly or bi-weekly, we'll start to, we've certainly given you a little bit of power at, not so we're not totally ignoring that. We've done a bit of contrast training in your work, which is where we're kind of matching heavier stuff with a little bit of explosive stuff as well. But we'll shift towards more kind of speedy, power-based stuff in the next block of training after this strength block.
So
So
the
yeah.
biggest kind of weakness or area of focus for me was just kind of shoulder based from the physio side, but then we're looking
Yeah.
at just increasing my strength at the moment so that in the second block we can turn that strength into power.
Exactly, and we gave you a little bit of shoulder rehab in there as well to cover those bases. Yeah, exactly. And then we, for both of you, I gave you split programs, so a 2 day program, and I've asked you to do, if possible, two of each a week, so 4 sessions. And across, we've kind of covered our fundamental human movements there in squat, for you, squat, deadlift, push pull, core. And a little bit of power as well. And this is, we'll talk about Mick next, and this is where it gets interesting, because you got to be able to cater for everyone. And I would say, Johnny, I'd put you into the typical category of, gym goer, experience in the gym, baseline strength from lifting in the past, a couple of niggly injuries that you were kind of already on top of yourself anyway. So that's, you know, your program looks a little bit different to mix. So yeah, but that's it in a nutshell for you. Like,
from my side, it was really interesting doing the assessment with you, just in terms of like the, like a big weakness that I think both myself and Michael had was our core is very, very poor.
Yeah. Sorry, that was one of the other things. So yeah, and like, you know, like poor, like it, like I think that's probably being harsh on yourself again. Like it
didn't feel good anyway.
Those tests were not fun.
It was definitely a work on for both of you. And like, look, there's I always like there, like over the years, people kind of say like, well, what, like, you know, all training is core training, really. You know, you could argue that, but I remember there's Dan John is a great American, real traditional. He was a shot put thrower, and he was you know, a real hardy American weightlifter. Has written lots of great books. And he always said that with his athletes, like I think it was like A plus B plus C equals D, and basically D was the optimal performance, and A and B were upper and lower. And he said, like, if you just did A and B to get D, you were always going to be about 80%. But if you added C, which was your core, to the legs and the upper, the connection between the upper and the lower body, he just said always, you know, the output was better, the outcome was better in relation to performance. And that was obviously for him, like, you know, power orientated work. And so core is important, and it's important for injuries, and it's important for stability and connecting the upper and the lower body. So yeah, both of you, definitely that was a work on. I just looking at the one of the things that we'll test, and I gave you jumps in both your programs because we had a look at on the output device that tells us how high you jump, and counter movement jump is a common test to see. It's a vertical jump height, and generally the higher that you jump, the more speed you can generate, or what, you know, blah blah blah, everything that I said before would make sense there. So basically we'll retest those jumps after this block of work to see have they improved. And obviously if we can see that your counter movement jump is improving from a height perspective, we're on the right track, and on the right track to helping you hit the ball a little bit further and that type of thing. And look, that's, so that was kind of like your thing was, yeah, definitely needed a little bit of core. We knew we added in a bit of shoulder rehab, quite general strength work with a little bit of power work in thrown in as well, but I'm definitely more emphasis on the strength, and we're going to retest that stuff in 8 weeks time. So that was you, Johnny.
That was, yeah. We're a little over a week into the program, and I'm really enjoying the strength side of it. I think I've probably upped a few of those 1RMs already, which has been great, just through reps and getting to go to the gym 3 or 4 times a week, which has been good fun. Michael, I know you've been doing a lot of home workouts going into this assessment. What were you looking for?
I think I kind of knew that lack of strength was probably my biggest thing, and I think doing the assessment really kind of proved that I think I'm quite fit, and cardio would be, I'd be a kind of cardio guy, but I've literally very little strength, especially in my lower body, which I was I kind of cemented a theory in my head anyway that I needed to do something to get a bit more strength, because I'd like to think that I can swing pretty fast and I have a fast swing and I've got power, but which I think if I could get some extra strength, if I get some strength in there as well, I don't know, I'd love to be able to smash the ball now.
yeah. And look, like, to be fair, the interesting thing about like different human beings is different qualities, and you mentioned, like, you strike me as the type of person, Mick, that could run all day, like literally all day, and you know, you've got a really good engine there, and you're just a like different type of athlete.
Would be slow. I can run all day, but it'd be slow.
Yeah, but look, that's fine. You need people that can run all day as well. So like that was kind of your thing. And yeah, like, look, probably not the same level of training or background of training compared to Johnny, and but definitely you're recognizing that you'd like to build a little bit of muscle, and you had lost weight in the last year or so, Mick, isn't that right?
Yeah. So like I would have done it completely through cardio. I would have been literally to zero weight. And anytime when I was coaching hockey or anything, anytime I was in the gym, it was literally ticking boxes. I wasn't doing any of the stuff that the lads were doing. So I know the motions and I knew what you were kind of talking about, but I've actually never done it. So I think that was definitely something, and the test kind of proved that, you know, I'm definitely lacking massively in strength in kind of all areas, really.
I look, the reality is that, like, I like, if you don't mind me saying that, you lost quite a bit of weight, didn't you?
Yeah, I think I've probably at my heaviest, I was probably 115, 120 kg probably, and I'm went down to 80.
That's a significant jump, you know, and like that's an ear now. So the reality of that is you would have lost a good bit of muscle in that process too. That is the reality of, you know, would the bit of muscle that you would have had before from playing hockey and, you know, being athletic and stuff, like it was definitely, you would have lost that along with that weight loss. So you're always kind of probably, you know, lack that little bit of strength off the back of that anyway. But obviously, I mean, incredible that you put your, you know, you managed to do that, and like, I mean, fair dues to you. But so yeah, like that was one of the things I have here. I just have looking at your notes here, Mick, and we're saying, yeah, so you're obviously, you wanted to get to keep continuing to get into better shape, which is cool. Definitely get a little bit more muscle on you, and then obviously the speed and power piece as well. And look, you know, the 2 year lucky in your hockey backgrounds, there has to be some element of rotational power capacity there, like, you know, which is great to have. And that will stand to you, I think, when we get out the other side of this stuff that we're doing now, and we're kind of really getting into the speed work and the explosive stuff. So yeah, look, for Mick, like basically all round, we same assessment as Johnny. The difference was for Mick was that you weren't going to be really doing this in the gym. You got young kids at home. You're tied down time wise a little bit differently to Johnny. So, you know, and I have to say, I really loved the variety between both of you. It worked out well, and I think it's good for the viewers or the listeners to see that, because it just shows you maybe what you can do at home with little equipment. And it's perfect for you, Mick, because, you know, you don't need to go and do heavy squats or deadlifts just yet. You know,
I'm
we're
nowhere near
Yeah, well, not
that
it's not even that. You could, but it's not a necessity. We're developing foundational strength with you. So the two key things with you are, we're looking for that full body approach to strengthening for you, upper and lower. And the reality is that you were, you know, the mobility side of things was a work on too. So Johnny had that little bit more mobility. When we looked at your hips, Mick, your hips and upper body were quite stiff. And that's a real low hanging fruit for us. So in your warm ups, I've actually given you quite a bit of the stuff that I would have gotten from Vern, the American S&C coach that I spoke about at the start. He's got these really cool body weight circuits, various types of movements. He's a big believer in movement as medicine, and movement as a way to improve mobility, as opposed to like static stretching or whatever. So it, your first set, your warm up is a lunge and reach series, and basically there's a couple of things there. The lunge and reach series is gonna, you've had issues with hamstring and groin injuries before as well. Sorry, I know one thing leading to another here, but so let's say we're looking at general strength. We knew the history of groin and hamstring injuries, which we again assessed on the VALD, and similar to Johnny, nothing crazy in relation to left versus right, but a general, I suppose, need for the strength and the hammers and the groins to come up in terms of norms. And so in the lunge series, we're kind of getting a bit of bang for our buck in that it's, and I get people, we'll probably, I guess we'll get to show people at some point what it looks like, I guess, if that makes sense. But basically it's about knee separation and hip depth. So there's various lunge positions, and they're long lunges. They're not kind of normal lunges, you know, the traditional lunges that you would think 90 degree position with the leg. So you're getting quite low with a lot of knee separation, which really stretches and loads the groins and the hamstrings, which is really good from an injury point of view and strengthening those. But you're also getting a lot of hip mobility, and upper body mobility as well, spinal mobility, shoulder mobility, and the reach component. And then there's also the same lunges with a rotational component, which is obviously invaluable for you too. So it was nice to give you those. I think And not to sound like they're the perfect thing, but because of the depth of the hips in the positions and the push off, there's also an element of developing leg strength too. So they're a really, really nice way for you to warm up, and it's a real full body approach. And I suppose I gave you those, that lunge and reach and lunge and rotate series, because I felt it would hit everything that you needed, like I guess at the start of the program, or start of the plan. The second thing was the leg strength. So yeah, we had a look at your leg strength, and definitely, like, interesting. And Johnny, you were the same on this. So just looking at the valve or the output device there.
Yeah, like definitely, I feel like I've done kind of three to four, like four, but like my legs are very sore.
Yeah,
and it was
yeah.
like, and I was just like, I didn't even, like, and it was just because I had no weight on top of it. So Johnny probably would probably do these and not feel anything, but like I was just doing body weight, and I was like, oof, like a next like. You get the DOMS and you get the morning after, and it's just like, oh yeah. So like I've even tried to been foam rolling a little bit.
Good,
so,
good.
yeah. So just like, and it was, I just knew it was like, yeah, this is exactly what I need, but it's tough, like.
It's tough, yeah. And sorry, and again, like I sound like I'm saying this all the time, but you're both of you are being hard on yourselves. Like I like, you'll get me in trouble. The thing with getting sore, like generally speaking, like, you know, I think traditionally we always would have thought, oh yeah, grand, like the DOMS thing, but ideally, like, they are tough, like, but they're meant to be tough. Ideally the DOMS, you don't want the DOMS to be too bad. I feel like I have to say that as a physio, because you don't want it to do excessive, you know, and it's important to kind of monitor that and try and recover for sure. But equally, don't take away from, like, the we'll talk about the leg strength stuff now. Just before actually I go on to that, I just want to, just before I forget, as hockey players, it was really interesting to see on the single leg counter movement jump, your right was way worse than your left. And we were saying that you're loading that left side to whip. And
yeah, with hockey, it's all you predominantly your left side, because of the hockey play the right side. So your left foot is your front foot. So all your, if you're, it's, so if you're playing in a game, when you go to lunge, it's always left foot forward.
Yeah.
So if you're going to make a tackle, or you're going to slap the ball, you're going to hit it, even if you plant your left foot to swing through. So obviously I wouldn't be doing much gym stuff, so the only weight and the only strength we got into my body would be on the left side.
Yeah. And
so I now think that that's why I sliced the ball as well, because my left is stronger, you know.
Yeah, it certainly would be, like, I mean, a more left bias move on the downswing would be a pro. It would open the face more traditionally. Now, obviously, it's really important to load your left side. There's plenty of golfers that don't load their left side and therefore don't generate as much power as they possibly can. As I said, that's a big advantage for you too. Like, you were, I'm just looking here, like, you were, your CMJ on the left, your counter movement jump on the left, on the right was like between 10 and 11, and it was up at like 18
Yeah,
on
I remember you saying it's nearly double, like.
Nearly double, and to be fair, like, anything like 18, 19 in a single leg is pretty good. Like, it's, you know, it's good. So that's telling us that left side has got good strength and power. Like, so, you know, I had to think about this, and we, like, with my physio hat on, what you'd often do in a situation like this, particularly if you were playing field-based sports, you'd be trying to reduce that deficit so that one side maybe doesn't get overloaded, or the weaker side isn't more susceptible to injury or whatever. But to be honest, I think that's going to be a massive advantage for you guys in terms of your power generation. So I just actually, I get in your single leg strength work, Mick, I just gave you the same reps both sides. Like, but anyway, I just thought I'd point that out, because it is interesting. Sometimes it's the opposite. And if it was the opposite, like, if you have the body will take the path of least resistance. If you have a really, let's say, if you've even an ACL injury, a cruciate ligament injury on your left, or some other cartilage injury on your left knee, and you never really rehabbed it properly, and the left leg is left quite weak, and your right leg is a little bit stronger, because the body takes the path of least resistance, when you're swinging and you're trying to generate power, your body's going to go to whatever it has to generate that power. So if you're pushing only through your right and you're leaning back, and that can be really problematic in the golf swing in relation to just setting your sequencing off wrong, and like, you know, getting stuck, like the club stuck behind you, and loads of things, falling off the ball, whatever. So it's definitely more of an advantage, I think, to have that left-sided strength. And I think a lot of the research now and testing is showing that, particularly at the top level, that golfers would generate more force through their left side. Anyway, so, but that was interesting. But I think, as I said, that will help you both. But in terms of, just to go back to what we were saying, for I gave you leg circuits, basically, Mick, in your leg strength work. So basically, on day one, I gave you it's a Gambetta leg circuit, so one of Vern's things, and they're unbelievable sets of work for people to develop their strength, particularly if you don't have equipment, but also in teams. We'd use them a lot in teams for a foundational strength. So the idea is that you're developing coordination under fatigue. So these leg circuits are done in rounds. There's four exercises, so there's like a squat, a lunge, and maybe two jumps.
Yeah.
A split jumper, squat jumper, whatever, and they're done in, like, there's a certain amount of reps, and then there's a certain amount of sets, and they're done kind of on repeat with little or no recovery. So as you move through it, and the idea is that you're trying to move through it fast. When you're starting off, you can move a little bit slower to control the movement, but as you become more competent with it, the idea is that you would move fast with control. And obviously, because of the fact that you're not stopping, you're developing this strength and coordination under fatigue, and it's a really really lovely athletic quality. It's a great way to strengthen your legs without using equipment. It's and it just fits so perfectly for you, because you're going to be doing this at home instead of saying, oh, you know, Mick, we'll just give you a dumbbell and do three sets of 10 goblet squats. I think you're going to get a lot more from a strength point of view from these leg circuits. And something that I often say to, I've used these with teams a lot, Vern would have said, like, he's progressed the leg circuits to the point where he's had some Olympic swimmers that are gold medalist winners, and he has them doing them with, like, you know, like a 15 kg weight vest and like a 10 kg dumbbell, and they're I've seen the videos, they're moving at speed, like five rounds nonstop of, like, you know, 10 squats, 8 lunges, 8 jumps, and it's just repeat. So, you know, really cool stuff with minimal equipment. So it just really, as I said, fit the bill for you in terms of developing some leg strength. And in your program, Mick, I've given you the progressions for each week, and we're slightly up in the reps, slightly up in the sets.
The split jump is tough.
Yeah, tough. Yeah.
Like that, and like I know why, but it was, that one is like, it's kind of when you're doing it and you're like, oh crap, I gotta do the split jumps again.
And just off the bat, you know, after doing the squats and the lunges just prior to it as well. But that's, again, like I was saying, like we gave you a little bit of contrast training there, where we're working on strength and power, kind of, you know, we're getting those two plates spinning at the same time. And, you know, that's, I kind of like the idea of, like, we're just flirting with a little bit of power, and then we're going to really introduce it in the next block for both of you. So that was the leg circuit. The second day then was what's called a spectrum split squat. And it's like, it's basically, there's again all components of the force velocity curve. So it's basically like you're holding a certain position, then you're with weight, then you're moving with the weight, then you're moving faster without the weight, and then the final bit is jumping, and that's the lunge exercise. So it's a really nice way to develop single leg strength. And again, as I said, we're combining strength and power together there. So that was your day two thing. And again, all we needed on day two for you, Mick, with the weight was like two 10 kg dumbbells that you can, that most people probably have in their gaff anyway, you know? I thought that was really cool. And I suppose the point I want to make there is that, you know, even if your way to getting stronger, working on the gym stuff, is going to be at home, there's so much that you can do, and so much quality work. It doesn't have to be just jumping around your living room. There's like really good quality stuff you can do to really generate and develop strength and coordination and stuff like that. And then look, the similar to Johnny, the core stuff was something that we wanted to work on as well. So we've included some nice robust kind of trunk stability work for you to do at home as well. So that's kind of the emphasis on the two. Does that cover it? I think, is there anything that you'd add to that, or any questions? Or
no, it's like with I think one thing I really liked was you said the ones where I got to do it really quickly and it's fast, like I get into a sweat, so I feel like I'm working. Like I like to, whenever I was working out, running isn't like running, was you're drenched in sweat and you get all the good endorphins and you feel like you're pushing it. So I'm reasonably, never went to the gym, I was never a big fan of, you know, doing a bench and then kind of walk around having a load of water for 3-4 minutes, going to do something else. I just got bored very quickly doing that stuff. So with the speed one, it feels like, you know, you're working up a sweat and you're feeling like it's a bit of cardio as well, so you kind of feel like you're in it, which to me makes a big difference, because then I feel like I'm doing not just kind of walking around having a sip of this and lifting random stuff, which is good.
Yeah, nice. That's a nice little added benefit to it, I guess. The other thing, sorry to mention, I was just looking through the programs there. It was I know both of you had mentioned about the kind of the weight loss piece of it, and look, I'd always say this. We know how important it is, how important resistance training is in weight loss, but ultimately food is the key there. And like, that's I'm not gonna say it's fully beyond my remit, but it's certainly something that I you know when you're there, like with the in-house studies that we would have done with Dublin over the years, and against kind of popular belief or common belief initially, like you can actually develop muscle and lose weight at the same time, lose body fat at the same time. We certainly found that in our research that we did. So you know, you can, so what I mean by that is, if you're monitoring your food and you're in a calorie deficit, you can, even though it's harder, you still can train and build muscle in that calorie deficit. So it's
Your protein, but the pro your protein has to be high though
yeah, of course,
within that.
absolutely,
So yeah, so
yeah. And
so,
like, you
so
know,
that's one area that I'm admittedly weakest, right? Is the diet. My diet's average at best, I would say. I'm a fiend for snacking, and I hold my hands up on that, mainly because my wife is sitting on the floor right behind me, and if I said anything different, she'd kick me. But that what would be good food for that? So what would be good meals that you and like the Dublin or the Kula teams would have been pushing players to go for, that would be good for weight loss, but also then maintaining energy and high in protein?
Yeah, I'm gonna. I don't want to. I won't elaborate too much on this, because it wouldn't be fair to say that this is my area of expertise. But I will. I will. I've been lucky to know some fantastic nutritionists and dietitians over the years. And actually, my fiance, I'll say, Aoife, is a dietitian herself. And they're huge. Like really huge on a really well balanced diet. Obviously, like whole foods, colorful. So you know. Things that obviously come from the ground, and obviously there's a big emphasis on protein now, in terms of A, your muscle development, but B, also keeping you satiated so that you're maybe not likely to snack as much.
Yeah, it
But
keeps you fuller. Yeah.
yeah, like one thing I'd say, and I've experienced this myself during COVID. I put on, like, even as a practitioner, I really got sick of jumping around my living room, and like I got, you know, I was going for walks every day, and that was nice, but when I was bored, I was eating, I was snacking, and I went from, I think I'm my fighting weight is like, I'm in good shape at 76. I'm quite light, 76 kg. I went from like 75, 76 kg in good shape to like 88 kg, and like I can tell you now that there was no muscle gain in that time. Like it was that was fat. Like, and that's a good bit of weight to put on. Like, you know, you're talking like whatever, 2 stone, over 2 stone. And obviously it got to the point where I was like, right, I need to get back to where I was. And in the past, I this is anecdotal, but I'll tell you, because it's interesting. In the past, over the years, as someone that I've gone through phases, like, you know, going on holidays where I would have been training twice a day and basically starving myself to try and get in good shape for the holiday, and all the things you hear lads doing, and in girls as well, like trying to, you know, trying to get in good shape, and never, it was never sustainable, so I would fluctuate a lot. And obviously that was frustrating, because ultimately when you're starving yourself, you're low on energy, you're feeling shit, and you're just literally doing it so that you can look decent for a photograph, or feel good about yourself on the beach or whatever, like, you know. But basically, Aoife had been talking to me a lot about this, the plate method. And the plate method is so simple. Like, I think the research has shown us now that hormonally it's important to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner on a daily basis. So like things like intermittent fasting, essentially the research is saying to us that the reason that intermittent fasting works for people is because
Is you're
it,
counting calories and it decreases the calories you're eating, not that you're,
exactly
there's not a magic window. It's
it's not rocket science. It's not that it's changing anything or helping you know, magically lose the weight or whatever. Or,
not changing insulin and stuff. Yeah, it's just you're eating less.
Because you're structuring your food, you're eating less, and that's why it works for people. So, but if you go simpler again, and you go for breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day, and you follow the plate method, and the plate method is basically, we'll leave aside breakfast for the moment, but lunch and dinner, if you think of a normal size plate, and basically half the plate needs to be veg, a quarter of the plate then on the other side needs to be a slab of protein, and then the other quarter needs to be carbohydrate. So like, if you think about our Irish meals, it's like, okay, there's probably a little bit of veg there. You know, if you're good with your food, there's a little bit of veg. Generally half the plate is probably rice or potatoes. Like, let's be honest, like, I mean, that is the reality. Like, you know, too much carbohydrate. And then, you know, maybe you are getting the protein, but it's just not enough. And the thing is, like, with the amount of carbohydrate, like, if you're not using that, which most of us aren't, you know, to fuel high levels of training or your, you know, or long distance running or whatever, like, it's just going to be stored. So with the plate method, that's all I did. I kept it really simple because I was having my three consistent meals. I was satiated. I was feeling good. I think the reduction in carbohydrate was the key thing, and the increase in veg on the other side. Now, they say, like, you know, some fats are good in there as well. So a small amount of nuts or, you know, avocado or whatever can be good. For breakfast every day, I had the same thing. I kept it real simple. I just had an omelet. So like two eggs, and I had some tomatoes and spinach and a little bit of cheese, a little bit of dairy, which is fine. And I kept it consistent, and like, I'm now down from 88 back to 77 kg, and it's 11 kg, so nearly 2 stone, and I haven't felt hungry or like tired because of lack of food at any point, really. On the days that I trained, I had a little bit more carbohydrate, and to be fair, I was good with snacking. I drank plenty of water, which also kept me satiated. And if I did snack, I would have maybe fruit, you know. I kept it, like, I tried to stay away from excessive snacking. And to be honest, lads, I've still had pints at the weekend with friends, and myself and Aoife would get a takeaway every weekend, and we'd have a couple of treats at the weekend. So it's very doable if you keep it simple. It's just about, like, and I think that's why I want to say that the plate method is so simple. But it's really, really effective. And if you're disciplined about that and honest with yourself across the course of a week, I think over time you'll see that with training. And maybe, like, the beauty of the golf is the steps is a great form of cardio. Like, it's, you know, low level cardio, which is your fat burning cardio. And you know, the more golf you play, the better you'll be from a body composition point of view, for sure, once your food is in order. Like, so yeah, so like I suppose I said I'd mention that about the food, but I would say that if you want to get a bit more structure on your own tendencies, it's probably worth tying in with a nutritionist or a dietitian. Like, there's some really good people out there now that are doing, like, you know, their one-on-one Zoom call consultation. I mean, it couldn't be easier. Like, a Zoom consultation for an hour, like £80, get yourself some structure on your eating habits, and Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, I'm a big calorie counter anyway. That's what I do.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Yeah,
that's fine.
I don't know how anyone did anything without MyFitnessPal, to be honest. Scan the bark. I don't know how anyone did anything before that.
Yeah, but fair play, you're doing that. I like, there's a lot of people, Mick, like, and you know, and to be fair, like, you guys are obviously diligent. A lot of people I know that with their calorie counting just get so sick of it after a while. And the beauty of something like the plate method as another alternative is that it genuinely is simple.
Doesn't wreck your head. Yeah.
And you don't have to, once you're looking at that plate and you're kind of going, and see, even when you're out then and you have a meal, you can kind of, okay, well, there's definitely a bit too much carb there. I'll leave that bit of rice or the pasta, you know, and obviously you're going to have your sauces and things when you're out and stuff like that, but like, it, you know, I suppose it's a way we're constantly trying to make things a little bit easier for ourselves in this day and age, considering how hectic everything is. So but look, if you have, obviously calorie counting is the most disciplined and exact way to do it, and certainly with Dublin over the years, there would have been calorie counting for sure with my fitness pal. Yeah, to be exact. But yeah, so that's kind of the food part of it, but I think I'll probably leave that with you guys in terms of
And just if there was what, like, I know, so if some people are like, you were talking about, that obviously people are listening to this, and that we have, why we have you here, is there something that you would say that for the average golfer that plays, you know, once, twice a week, and they're looking to gain a bit of speed, and then maybe, obviously what we're trying to do with you is we're trying to, Johnny and I are pretending to be pros, you know, with the lads that you work for, but is there something you would go, listen, if you want to get that little bit quicker, or you want to improve your game, for you, are there like two, three things that you'd go that would be just for someone to start with? Like, yeah, would it be increase the steps? Would it be try a speed stick? Would it be just go the driving range and try and like max? What would be kind of three things that you go, I'd look at?
It's a really good question. For the general punter, and like, if we're talking about, let's talk about like people 30s and up, two three things I'd say. Number one, definitely get an assessment from a qualified professional to see if you're healthy enough to swing fast and aggressive, because if you have a dodgy back or dodgy shoulder, and I've seen this happen a lot, you'll have guys that get on the speed sticks and with no kind of like awareness of, you know, probably they're probably aware that their knee might be a bit fecked or like their shoulder is the same or their back is the same, and next thing they're going after this ball and they pull their back or they hurt their shoulder. So that can happen. That is the thing about power training, if you like. So definitely get an assessment, and I would say make sure you're on top of your injuries. The second thing I'd say is, I'm going to say like probably nearly 90% of the time, particularly with guys, less so with females, but still with females as they get older, like mobility, like, you know, hip and spinal mobility can be so poor for people that a little bit of stretching or getting a stretch routine, you know, whether they do a little bit of yoga at home or if the practitioner that they go to gives them some stretches to do to help them increase their turn and their hip turn, that would be another thing, like so important. Like the more mobility you have, definitely the more speed you can generate. So that'd be second thing. And then the third thing would be speed itself, without question. So like, you know, a simple way that you can do it, and I said this to you guys, is get into the driving range twice a week and just like, you know, three sets of six or eight or 10 drives. And hitting those drives, if you have feedback, you know, like if you, like, for example, in Dublin and Leopardstown, they have the TrackMan monitors. You can see your ball speed, like, so that's, you know, and that's really valuable. Like, you don't have the club head speed there, obviously, but you can see your ball speed. So, like, trying to hit the ball and seeing what gets your ball speed numbers up. So, you're trying to increase your max to increase your average. And ultimately, if you get used to swinging the club faster and more aggressively, then your average will come up, and it's easier to do that on the course. And that might mean over time 10 or 20 yards. Obviously, if you've been cleared from an injury point of view by a practitioner, you've been working a little bit on your mobility, something like speed sticks or the stack system can be really beneficial. And I've got loads of ladies and men in their 50s and 60s using those tools now to huge benefit. And like the stats are mad. Like I think stack system have research to suggest that pretty much most people will improve their speed by like 5 miles an hour or 6 miles an hour, which is like 15 to 20 yards. So you have to remember, if you're hitting your driver 240, that might potentially get you up to 255, 260. But not only are you hitting the driver further, but suddenly, like, if you were hitting your 7-iron 140, you might start to hit it 150. So you're getting this like double benefit where suddenly, like, if you were hitting driver 3-wood, you might be now hitting driver 5-iron, maybe, like, you know, and that makes the game a hell of a lot easier. Like the shot link data, like, particularly for amateurs, where the pros separate themselves from the amateurs is actually much more so the longer game. You know, most people would give a good match to a pro, a good test to a pro around the greens, like putting or chipping, you know, in terms of the basics. But it's driving and long irons and woods where most amateurs fall down. So if you can get yourself like 30, 40 yards closer to the hole, and then you're actually hitting your irons further anyway, the chances of you hitting the green or getting closer to the pin for your second shot, which means you're more likely to save par or make your bogey, increases quite a bit. So yeah, no, really good question, Mick. So I'd say get checked out by a medical professional or a fitness professional to make sure that you're not going to break down. Second thing would be definitely get on top of some, it's a real low hanging fruit, spinal and hip mobility. And the third thing then would be work on speed itself, whether that's, it should even be both with your driver on the course or at the driving range with some feedback. So numerical feedback. So like there's some speed monitors you can get online that are like a couple of hundred quid that are worth having, or like in Leopardstown where you're getting that feedback, or even if you were to rent your pro's TrackMan in the pro shop for a half an hour session or something, you could do it there. Like, you know, there's ways and means to do it. And then obviously the other piece would be the over speed training with the speed sticks or the stack system. So if you're just a general punter trying to hit the ball further, that's where I'd start.
So obviously now we've got a lot of homework to do over the next kind of 7 weeks. This is week two of it. What do you expect, or what would you hope to see in terms of progressions from us, basically, if you were to not see us? I mean, obviously you will, you'll see us, I imagine, throughout these 8 weeks, but if you were to not see us for another 7 weeks or so, what would you like to see?
Well, I think, I don't know, I don't, not even like, you know, I think we're going to see massive improvement with Mick. I think he's got room there, and that's really good for him because this is kind of new to him for the first time in a while. He's going to make really lots of progress quickly, so that's going to be cool. So I'd love to see Mick getting through those leg circuits more comfortably at speed and feeling good about it. I'd love to see his mobility, you know, like some simple rotational tests and hip stuff, that they're more free flowing, and we can see that there's been an improvement in range. So those two things for me, and I'd love to see maybe the core stuff a little bit more solid, a little bit more stable. So that for me, and I think we're going to see all those things with Mick, because the beauty of this stuff is the fact that you're doing it is just, that's the main thing. Like the biggest issue is people don't do it. So like you are going to see progress if you do it, and if you're relatively speaking doing the right stuff or stuff that's good, which both of you are. So it's going to be, you know, no matter what, we're going to see improvements. But that for Mick, and I'd love to then, you know, as if Mick, you know, we might chat to Mick about getting you know looking at getting to the gym once a week and trying to progress it a little bit or whatever it is. Like, you know, it's not a necessity, but we might go there. And for you then, Johnny, I'd be saying if we're going to see less improvement because you had already got a good bit of work done. So I'd love to see your lat mobility improved. I'd like to see the 1RM testing when we do it again. If we've made some improvements there, I'd be delighted with that. Look, simply a retest of the shoulders to see that they're on the, with the valves, that they're a little bit stronger than they were would be progress. And then both of you, the counter movement jump, I'd love to see that come up. You know, if we've gained a couple of centimeters there, happy days. And that's really it. And once we see some improvement, and even if there isn't that much improvement, you know, as we get closer to the summer, we'll move away from the more fatiguing, heavier, slower work, and we'll move towards more, you know, kind of more explosive stuff, and get the nervous systems fired up, and get you ready to feel athletic and fast in the summer.
Lovely. Looking forward to it. I'm really enjoying it, I'd say, so far. It's nice to be able to go into the gym and have an actual program that, you know, is built for you, and you're not going around walking around looking for a machine or looking for weights, and I'm less of a headless chicken now, which is reassuring in every sense.
Yeah, well, I don't want Johnny to hit the ball too far, because I would drive him a little bit at the moment, and one of his goals for the year is to actually beat me. So my high handicap, along with maybe the 5-6 yards I have in mind, I want that to must be very annoyed now if all of a sudden he's blasting the ball past me.
Johnny, you're in trouble here. Like Mick's got all these strength gains to make. When he gets them, what's going to happen to the speed? Like, you know,
I know it's a problem already. He already hits the golf ball further than me sometimes. Yeah. When he keeps it on the planet, he does anyway. So really, all of this is a competition between me and Mick. I think everything we're doing at the moment is a competition between the two of us.
Yeah, if you want to get ahead, definitely buy yourself some speed sticks and start cheating and get going with that pretty quickly.
All right, yeah, that's a bet. I'm doing that. Yeah. Listen, Moss, thanks so much for coming on. Thanks for breaking it down. If people want to get in touch with you, book their own program, or even just book in for a physio session, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, so my Instagram, you'll find me at Capital Performance Clinic. That's Capital as in Capital City, Dublin. The website is cpphysio.ie. So you can book in there online. There's information online about the various elements of athletic development, strength conditioning, physio that we provide there. Something that's worth mentioning, we're going to be providing an online service, an online platform for training. So for people that aren't in Dublin, they'll be able to get assessed online, get their programs, have regular check-ins, and just trying to make it more accessible for people around the country. So, feel free to contact me. The email as well as info@cpphysio.ie. You might put those in the show notes or whatever, Johnny. Yeah. And get on to me if there's anything you need, anything I can help you with. I'd be delighted to do so. And and even if people just have questions, always happy to discuss or help. So that's it.
Yeah, thanks very much. We're going to be checking in with Moss throughout the next few weeks. I'm going to have him back on the podcast again. So yeah, this won't be the last you hear of him. But listen, thank you very much. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
No worries. Good to chat, guys.
On the tee, Jack Nicklaus.
This is the minute that millions around the world have waited for.
We will allow you to enjoy all of this. They are dancing in the pubs of Dublin. Harrington with an ace.
And we have a shining star at sunset. Rory continues his run to greatness.
The return to glory.